We are back here on the morning shift, and it is time for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. You can weigh in on who, in fact, won which one Wednesday, Bo or Mike, You can give us your thoughts on what the Falcons need to do during the bye week to improve or make changes on their defense, because that was a topic of discussion throughout the show today.
I have a fatherly topic I wanted to bring to the table. My son learned a toddler swear word at school earlier this week.
What is? Hold on.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm getting there. I couldn't understand what he was even saying the first, like, three times he let it out. Toddler swear word. You know what I mean? He's four, so, you know, he didn't even know what an actual swear word is. Sorry. But he was getting frustrated the other day, and you know what he did? He pulled the old Brian Kelly. Fiddlesticks. And I was like, what did you just say?
He said fiddlesticks.
And I was like, where did you learn that? And he was like, John from school says fiddlesticks sometimes. And I was like, well, you tell little Johnny it's not nice to
swear.
We're
sitting here again.
Yeah.
So you're categorizing, because it's a replacement for the other word.
Of course.
You are,
of course,
saying fiddlesticks. Yeah. Is
But now I'm like, man, maybe I should steal it from him. Maybe it's my replacement word.
No.
Because I can't say, you know, the actual F word around him or anything like that.
Can I, I've got to disagree with you here.
What's that?
I think it's okay for little young Ridge to show his emotion with
a swear word.
It's not a swear word. It's a very
toddler swear word.
It's not.
So any word said in anger is a swear word? I mean.
Pizza. Sorry, I just wanted to try.
See, I mean, if you keep using it enough, Mike's going to think.
Let me Google.
What is a fiddlestick?
Maybe it's something from the historic times.
Well, be careful.
People used to play fiddlesticks.
Don't do that.
You know what? Get out of here. Leave right now.
Just be careful googling stuff.
You're sick.
But I just don't. I think you're overreacting, man. I really do. Yeah, you can't. First off, you can't protect him forever. Second off.
Exactly.
You know what I would have done? I would have said, hey, son, we don't do things half-assed around here. If you're going to say the F word, you use it. No, I'm kidding. I think it's okay. He's showing anger without being violent or, I don't want to say angry. He's just showing frustration.
And yeah, he just says
a word.
It's a natural human emotion.
But he's not kicking stuff or throwing stuff. He just takes his tiny bear paw, because he's already 5'2".
Bear paw.
And he's like, fiddlesticks. And that's okay.
The next thing to do would be to ask him, why are you upset? So then he could vocalize the reason instead of just saying, fiddlesticks.
Well, I knew why he was upset. Couldn't get his shoe on. His old Velcro, you know, was not matching up. His light up Mario, Super Mario shoes.
Oh,
those things are so cool.
Things.
We went for a walk when it was a little bit dark last night. This man was just, he was on
not
cloud nine.
It.
You know what I mean? Just lighting up the whole street.
Dude, I won't light up shoes walking in the dark.
I bet you do. All right, let's go to the lines. We got Weems and Decatur. Good morning.
Oh, yeah, Weems. What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
What's up,
Team
man?
Tiff in the building, man. Team
oh,
Tiff
no.
in the building.
Oh,
long time,
no.
man.
No.
Yeah. Don't hate.
I can't hear anything.
Who would have known? Eric Weems is Team Tiff. Is it this Eric Weems? The punt return?
No, this is his cousin, man. This is his cousin.
Wait, are you guys making fun? Is someone really on the line?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, someone's really on the line.
Okay, keep going. We
have to get here. Hold on.
Oh, my goodness.
Yo.
Okay, I'm back.
Team Tiff, she can't even hear. That's crazy.
Wow.
Team Tiff, she can't even hear. We in the building, baby.
Hey, what's up?
Hilarious, man.
Yo, so look. I got two wake-up calls. One is for the coaching staff of the Falcons, all right? Mm-hmm. If we don't wake up, we're going to find ourselves not in the playoffs.
Oh, don't say that.
The Bucks are going to steal our position. We got a hard schedule coming up next, and we got to do something about it. And the last thing is, for Kirk Cousins, man, either you swag surf or get off the board, brother, and let Penix have it. Hey, Team Tiff, baby, I'm out.
Thank you. Thank you. I almost missed my handful of fans.
here's the thing.
Appreciate
Kirk Cousins isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
He's going to have another year on this team, minimum.
Would that be a minimum of 23 more Kirk Cousins games? Unless you get to the end of next year.
No, that would be, that's right, because there's 17 now,
Yeah, so, but I agree with his first point that something's got to change, right? And I, it's not just getting better at what we do. There's some things strategically, schematically, offense and defense that has to change.
Well, and let's not forget that, you know, games play out differently. There's moments in every game, and the penalty, whether you think it was a penalty or not, which I thought it was very ticky-tack, the holding call on Bergeron on the very first drive, Bijan gets right to the one, I think, maybe the 1.5. That changes the game. And then that's execution, right? And then there's the execution of Drake. Drake gets a big catch. It gets you back into like the inside for another first and goal. But because he didn't execute the pre-snap stuff. So it's not just changing up what they're doing, but it's also doing it better. Like there's simple procedural things that this team is not doing that they need to get better at. And I don't know, I'm not smart enough to and have been in those situations like you have to tell you how you get better other than the simplistic thing of saying, well, you gotta go practice it.
It was attention to detail. And for case in point, I know we gotta get to another caller. Case in point being, and I don't know the answer to this, but what is Drake's signal to actually move towards the line of scrimmage on that? I don't know the answer. Because you're running away from the quarterback and you're gonna be the outside end. So what is his indicator to actually start moving down the field and not do it too early? I don't know. So that's – and I know it was loud there, so it's not like he's listening to Kirk straight behind him by 20 yards. So it's just attention to detail. But I think his original point being is that something's got to change schematically. You've got to misdirect, use pulling guards, get better at your screens on offense, and you've got to start changing up your coverages, rotating in more players defensively.
Agreed.
Back to the lines we go. We have Anthony in Covington. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. Team Squid is in the house. Oh, how are we doing all
– Is it?
Sir,
how are you doing this morning?
Good, sir. How are you?
I was fine until now.
I'm doing fantastic. All-American, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, buddy.
And our resident Olympian, how are you doing, Miss Tiff?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Also, I have Mike Smoffy in the back seat with me. Opie, hit me with that. Win, win, win.
Yes! Yes! Yes, that made
me. All right, so I'm going to make it quick, and I know we're running a little over. So this is actually the head of Mike's story this morning. So funny parent moment with a toddler swear word, and obviously I will substitute it for something that will not put me in Rob Tribble zone. I have three children. Two of them are special needs, so they have been verbally delayed, right? So they haven't been able to speak up to the full capacity, but that's okay. So for about 10 years, I have been cursing with reckless abandon around my house.
No.
So we have our wonderful Obi, who's in the back seat, who has come along, and we've always prayed to have a little one that can talk and have a conversation with us, and she came out and she hasn't stopped talking since. So I am watching a Georgia game, and I specifically remember that Kendall Milton is running the ball in the SEC championship, and he runs over three defenders, and my natural reaction is to yell the word "eat his butt up" and jumping off the couch. Yeah, so then Ophelia comes around the corner and just chanting three times in a row,
yes.
Eat butt, eat butt,
yes.
Eat butt. I'm having to negotiate with her and tell her she cannot say that because she has to go to Christian school on Monday, and we cannot get expelled from there.
Sounds like McDonald's came into play.
A
Happy Meal.
Member, if I've ever heard one, man, I love it. I love that.
All I say, so Mike, it's going to get better and better. And Bo, once again, man, I've told you on the phone and text message, man, congratulations. Everyone's going to tell you how tough it is to be a parent, man, but I don't think enough people tell you how much fun it is being a parent, dude, and enjoy every single step of it. I love you guys. Thank you all so much. We listen to you guys every morning. Y'all have a
appreciate
you
too. Answer.
Appreciate it.
It's a delicate balance, my friend. I think I've done a decent job. Delicate balance it is.
I'm
being a parent.
I tell you what, that's something I'm probably going to improve greatly on. Is
looking at the dreadful side of it.
Just language around the house when I'm iRacing.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to Mark to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Mike, who's a lock and who's not when it comes to the college football playoffs?
Well, it's about hosting, Tiff. And I can tell you there is one SEC team that's a lock to host in my mind. It ain't Georgia, ain't Alabama either. We'll talk about it on the other side. Sports Radio 929
The Game. We are back here on the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. Speaking of home and stuff, kind of like home field advantage in the college football playoffs. You see what I did?
I see what you did there, Tiff. So nice work.
Pat
nice work
on the back.
Yeah, so obviously digesting the college football playoff stuff and trying to figure out who goes where. And I think the big thing for me is this started with me obviously looking at Alabama stuff because I'm a Bama guy. And the threat of Bama hosting in Tuscaloosa is non-existent. It can't happen. Mathematically, it's an impossibility for Bama to host because you look at it and they're ranked number 7 and you're like, oh, that would be so awesome. And you start looking at matchups and you go, it's impossible for Bama to host a playoff game.
Why?
Bama has to win out, right? If Bama gets another loss, they're now a 3-loss team. Now they're in danger of being completely out of the playoff. All right. If Bama wins out, they've won the SEC and they're in a top 4 seed. So they can't be in the middle of hosting a playoff game.
Why would Bama go over Ole Miss to the SEC title game if Ole Miss wins out?
Because that's already been decided. It's over opponent.
Like, I know. I just wanted to explain it.
Opponent win percentage, and basically the fact,
sometimes it's important to explain the things.
Well, basically the if you know the tiebreakers by now, opponent winning percentage, whether or not you win or lost to them, is a huge deal in the SEC. So the fact that Bama has not played Kentucky or Mississippi State is propping up their record over teams like Georgia and Ole Miss and Tennessee. So Bama right now is the favorite, so you've obviously got to take care of business against Oklahoma, which I'm not so sure they're going to do. I'm not sure about anything Bama's doing over the next couple of weeks, just to be very clear. I'm not saying Bama's going to win the SEC. It's a toss-up, but I'm saying they'll be favored by 2 touchdowns this weekend. They'll get Auburn at home and everything else.
That's been the beauty of the SEC this year, real quick, is that there's no real dominant team.
You have no idea.
You can say Texas is, but they're really not.
They're not the best
team they've played, they've lost to. And so the reality is that there's all these teams that are like the same. All of these teams are the same.
I kind of like it.
I'm glad you brought that up because the next part of that therein lies, they beat LSU.
I'll take it.
The next part of that therein lies is that I think there's only one SEC team that mathematically, unless chaos ensues, which it probably will, there's only one SEC team in my opinion that will be hosting a playoff game, and that's Ole Miss.
Well, they won't either.
See, here's how I think it pans out. When you look at the rankings and you look at the match, I thank you for just completely just crapping on my argument before
I'm just saying Florida's going to win.
right. So here's how it works out. Ole Miss, I think, is a lock to move into the 8th seed. And the reason is because you look at if all the favors hold, Ohio State beats Indiana. I don't think Indiana hosts a playoff game if they lose to Ohio State this weekend. Would that be fair to say?
Say that again.
Their record is undefeated, but they have no good wins.
They'll fall. Yeah, Indiana.
They'll fall back to being. I think they'll stay in the playoff, but I think they'll be on the road.
Yes.
Then Ohio State, if they were to deal with business and they get back to play, now here's where the confusion might come in. If Ohio State plays Oregon in the Big Ten championship and Ohio State beats Oregon, Oregon may host a playoff game.
No. Ohio State beats Oregon, yes. Yes, there's a possibility
Oregon
of that.
Oregon probably hosts a playoff game in that scenario.
Because I think that you won a tight game against a team during the regular season, and then if they beat you in a tight game in what is technically a postseason game, should you be punished out of hosting a game when teams that didn't even make their title game
right
with a worse record, take out the strength of schedule stuff for the first part of this argument, but should you be penalized for making a championship game with another team that didn't and have to go there? And I think the committee would do that. Plus, don't forget, this committee has more than just getting the best 12 teams in. Matchups, and we're going to talk about this later on, matchups matter to this committee.
Yeah, well, they do, and there's where I want to make sure I get through. All right, so right now you've got 4 of the top 5 teams are Big Ten teams, right? 4 of the top 5 are Big Ten teams. So Oregon, Ohio State, let's just assume they match up. Maybe Indiana jumps up and gets them. I don't know. There's a couple of scenarios where Penn State makes it in, but it's just not likely. So I think at this point when I'm looking at it, the host teams are probably Penn State because, you know, they've got a relatively easy schedule. I don't think if Ohio State loses Oregon, I do not think they host. But maybe, you know, somebody could have different on that. If Bama were to beat Texas, I think Texas is in the same realm as Indiana. I think Texas falls out of hosting if they were to lose an SEC championship game, as unfair as that may be.
If Ohio State loses to Oregon, they should be at the best an 11 seed.
I think that's my point. That's exactly my point. Because so now all of a sudden we're watching Big Ten teams fall, and some of these, the Bama, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, start to rise. Notre Dame's going to be locked in because they're Notre Dame, and we've talked about it. In the end, it's about money. They have one loss. It's to NIU. It's as ugly as possible. They could also lose to Army, which would be chaos. But my point being is that I think that Ole Miss, sitting there at 9 right now, is almost a lock to host. And if all these things I'm talking about were to hold true, how do you feel? And I know that we've already talked about this. How do you feel if it's Georgia at 9 and Ole Miss at 8 and Georgia's now traveling back to Oxford for the first round of playoffs?
They won't do it.
You think they would avoid that on purpose and try to sandwich somebody else in there?
Yeah, what they would do is they would send Ohio State there and they would pop Georgia down to 11 on purpose. And the reality is because people forget that the part of the committee and don't – I know that it's a 12-team playoff now and everyone's going to say, well, different because it was 4 then and now it's 12. They want you to watch, guys. And a lot of people in other parts of the country might say, already seen Georgia Ole Miss play, and it was only only like a month ago.
Yeah,
and I think that they want to keep conference teams away from each other in the first round.
Yeah,
I think that's a big deal. I also think you got to remember that Boise State and BYU there are flies in the ointment for some of this for the seeding.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Because they can throw everything off, because if Boise loses again, they're probably like, and they lose again and then they make their conference game, they could knock down. I don't know what's left on their schedule, but it's the top 4 conference champions ranked by the playoff committee, and therefore BYU could jump them, and right. and Boise could be left out at that point, or the Big 12 winner could jump them, and then Boise could be left out, and Army could jump up if they beat Notre Dame. Like, there's all kinds of things going on.
Yeah, definitely.
So Garrett is here.
Real quick.
And yes.
Yeah, keep your eye on the Big 12 championship game here. So if BYU, who plays Arizona State, who's sitting down there all the way at 21, and notice who's sitting there at 20, is Tulane. Up in front of them is Army, both of them in the AAC. If those two hold serve, and this committee is telling us effectively that the Big 12 is sitting on the outside looking in, potentially.
That's
so
rough.
If Arizona State beats BYU, I mean, they may weight things a little bit differently when it's all said and done, but then you have to go play the Colorado in the conference championship game. The Big 12 may or may not be left out of this entire tournament entirely.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's crazy to think about, but I think to your point, it's setting up for that. Tiff, UNLV's at 24.
Yeah.
That to me tells me, okay, we're propping up Boise's schedule a little bit because you were there for that matchup when Boise played UNLV. It's always those teams 20 through 25 that I think give you insight into what the college football playoff is thinking. Case in point, I brought it up earlier. Missouri being at 23 makes no sense to me. There is no way Missouri should be at 23 right now with some of the things that have happened to that team.
And by the way, you think the committee, and I made Garrett's point, I think Monday or Tuesday, and I think he's right, but you think Colorado is still in this?
Oh, for sure.
And if Colorado wins the Big 12, they are in.
Without
a doubt, they'll be the 12 team, and they'll be summoned to someone's campus, unless Boise loses, and then they'll put a bye. But again, you can talk about strength of schedule. You can talk about all the crap you want, but they won't. People to watch
yeah.
And what are you going to watch?
And that's exactly why they don't televise it. What Drew Butler's been talking about.
You telling me they're not gonna put Colorado in as a Big 12 champion, knowing
the eyeballs
good and well what Deion's gonna bring that thing. In fact, Tiff, to your point, they might if Boise was to slip up, Colorado won the Big 12, suddenly Colorado would just be the highest conference champion ranked, and they might deserve it, don't get me wrong, But they would have that bye because they know it brings in viewers.
Well, real quick, and on that point, can I talk to you guys about the latest odds to win the national title after last night? And I know we got, 30 seconds left, but it's we talked about four Big Ten teams being at the top and in the top five of the college football playoff, but I think the odds to win the national title tell you even more. Ohio State and Oregon are at the top, +320, +440. The next four teams, Georgia at +480, Texas +550, Bama at +800, and then Ole Miss at +1,000. That's your next six. That's your next four. That's your top six odds. Penn State after that, Notre Dame, Miami, all the way down. But I think there's a lot of insight to be taken. And I'm just telling you right now, if all things were to hold steady, I believe that Oxford is going to be a madhouse on December 20th.
I just want chaos. So that might be what's up.
Probably going to get it. Because one of these teams is going to lose on rivalry weekend. There's no doubt.
When we come back here, we've got a Life of Squid on the way. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the Morning Shift, and we've been talking a lot about the college football playoff rankings that were released last night. And where that now will leave some ACC teams in the mix of all of this.
And I think there's a good point to be had here, and I know that Bo was just talking about it off air. We're trying to say, a lot of people are saying that the Big 12 has a realistic chance of being left out completely, and we're not giving enough credence to what could happen in the ACC if SMU were to win out.
Yeah, I don't think – well, first, and I think SMU honestly should be probably ranked higher. But, I mean, if they beat Miami, first off, Miami's out completely. There's no way they get in a two-loss Miami – has no business.
No, not even close.
Being in the college football playoff.
No, I agree.
You can make an argument that SMU has played as tough of a schedule.
SMU's loss is to
BYU.
BYU,
and that was in week three, and that's a pretty good BYU team. I would say.
It's interesting too to look at this as a total body of work because it's always for the college football playoff. Colorado, case in point, it's always what have you done for me lately? Colorado has an ugly loss. They have two losses, but one of them was ugly to Nebraska, but it was like week three or week two. And
well,
it's like you look at them and go, yeah, if they win the Big 12, they're locked in.
And guess what? Indiana beat Notre Dame's. They beat them Indiana beat Nebraska, like a drum.
Yeah.
Like a drum.
Yeah.
And that is Colorado's bad loss.
Man, there's so much chaos. The
thing for me is if SMU was to lose to Virginia or Cal in the next 2 weeks, I'm pretty sure Clemson will sneak in to that ACC title game then, I would think, because I think I don't know what the ACC tiebreakers are, but they didn't play each other, obviously. But Clemson could sneak in, and then you could have Clemson and Miami playing, which is what they wanted all along in the ACC title game. Because they didn't expect SMU to have a great year.
Jarrett says they need Miami to lose. Clemson needs Miami to lose, and they'd be in.
Well, Miami's not losing. They play Wake. They play Wake and Syracuse, and
I said Miami's going to lose to Georgia Tech either.
I don't foresee Miami losing to either one of those teams.
Foresee is a better word. Speaking of chaos ensuing, and I want to keep going down this road, but do you guys? And I looked this up yesterday because I was having conversations about Jalen Milroe. Do you guys know who was favored at this point last year to win the Heisman? There was actually two that were in front of Jaden Daniels.
Nix was in the mix, right?
Bo Nix is one of them. Yeah, he was favored. Bo Nix was either favored this week or next week. Maybe it was next week after the end of the regular season.
Was it Carson Beck up there?
He was, but not at this point.
No. Who am I forgetting?
Very obvious.
Jaden Daniels?
He won.
Well, I mean, he won. But
other than him, there's one more that was I think he was the runner-up.
At this point.
Yep.
What was it?
It was Michael Penix.
Thank you.
I don't know. I just don't pay attention. You know what sucks? I don't pay attention to the trophy anymore. I don't pay attention to the Heisman Trophy anymore because it turned...
Well, you're saying because it changed, like he was just bringing the point was.
Because it's just
like
quarterback.
It feels like Travis Hunter, it feels like his runaway train right now.
And well, he should be.
He should be. And
him
I agree.
Ashton Genty should be the two guys.
I completely agree, but it's just crazy how we would have said the same thing about Michael Penix and Bo Nix last year, and Jaden Daniels ends up winning it.
Yeah, because he wasn't the front runner
at this point last year.
Yeah.
Which is odd because he clearly had the best year of those guys.
And what's even crazier he didn't play in the SEC championship game either.
That's why he wasn't the front runner this time. That point, because those two teams were still in national title contention, which is the problem with the trophy these days. Is it's turned into an award for what is perceived best player on perceived best or one of the top three or four teams.
Randy Moss was being invited and Steve McNair and the guys who were the best players in college football, not the ones that were in the rankings.
It's why I am pushing so hard for Travis Hunter, because there is not a
no one's doing what he's doing.
I played 130 snaps last week.
Yeah, he's the most important player, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, nobody's doing what he's doing. And getting to see him do that in person against what I had Colorado at Colorado State this year was,
You saw him and Ashton Jeanty up close.
Jeanty was hurt during our game, so we didn't get we got him, but not the full. Dose of him because he got hurt during the game. But still continued to play. Yeah. So,
there you go.
He's got 1,900 yards right now, I believe. And Arch and I were talking about this the other day. He could break Barry Sanders' record. Now, the crappy part is Barry did it in 11 games, and he's going to play 12 right off the bat, possibly. And remember, because back then, bowl games didn't count.
But having seen both of them and both impressive players, the only reason why, I would say Travis Hunter is just because it's a two-way player. Right. And not that he's just a two-way player. He goes out and gets a touchdown pass, and he'll come back on the field and catch an interception.
That's crazy.
Like, it's
crazy. 130 snaps last week.
Not that they won't, but if one of those guys doesn't win the Heisman, it'll be probably egregious as what baseball did yesterday with a Manager of the Year award. That's right. W Sauce, baby. Fire Shire. Bloody Mary mix, Key West style. And don't forget my friends at Owl and Lager. Abe and I will be out Friday at New Realm Brewery. And Friday after Thanksgiving. So what is that, like the 28th or 9th, something like that? And then I will be at Miller's Ale House on the 30th of November.
Which one?
The one in Kennesaw. Okay. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it. Dylan's going to come. Dylan's going to be there as well.
I'm going to be there.
What?
Yeah. We talked about this. We talked about this on air.
Yeah, and don't forget.
You come with me to Buffalo's Cafe.
I was at work. I promise you, if I didn't have work, I would have come.
Also, he likes me better than you. I think he's shown that.
That's probably fair. That was showing
through
which one wins.
I love you.
Don't forget, Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic is Monday, November 25th. That is what, like 4 or 5 days away, Mike? You tell me I'm bad with these things.
I don't know. Something like
five days away.
Yeah, I'm excited, though.
92.9 Game website, events page. You can find all the details. All right. Yesterday, the Manager of the Year awards were given out. It was yesterday. And they gave it to Stephen Vogt, who deserved it, the Cleveland manager, former Braves catcher, hell of a dude. But Pat Murphy from the Brewers won it. And the Brewers had a good year, 93-69. They finished 10 games ahead of the Cubs in the Central. Yada, yada, yada.
How happy do you think the Brewers were that Craig Council leaves them and they finished 10 games ahead of the Cubs?
I think they were great, but that's BS, because the guy that did more with less this year was in the playoffs was Brian Snitker, and it wasn't close. No one lost their two best players from the year previous to injury a month to 2 months into the season and was still able to do what he did. The injuries this team had, you had, three, four guys at a time that were important players that you did not have. Brian Snitker absolutely deserved it. But you know what? That's fine. Don't give it to him. But if tonight, and I think it's at 6 o'clock, if Chris Sale isn't announced a Cy Young a winner, I will riot in the streets of Atlanta.
What time is it?
I believe, let me double check, I believe it is 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock, we ride.
6 o'clock on the MLB Network, which I don't even have. So I will just check Twitter. But I will get my butt in the W Sauce, New Realm,
the Squidmobile,
Z71, and I will drive to Atlanta and have a one-man riot. I'll walk up and down the streets of Atlanta.
I want you to do it just so we can get video footage of that. Yeah, I just want you to.
We will wait to see that.
Right. You better be ready, Chip, because I'm stopping by your place. I'll pick you up. We'll go on. I'm just going to be.
Doors locked.
It's going to be a two person ride.
Let's find out what's coming up on the steakhouse next here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.